Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Alexis Madrigal. What is it to be a DJ in this day and age? Hip-hop music is everywhere, and electronic DJs are some of the biggest stars in the world. They don't have to haul crates of records from show to show anymore, and they can learn the tricks of the trade at a DJ school or on YouTube University. So, we're bringing in some DJs this morning to teach us a bit about the theory and practice of moving the crowd and to talk about the Bay Area scene. Friday, music, DJs, that's all coming up next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Listen, I'm a skilled playlist maker. My old mixtapes, my current Spotify playlists are interesting and filled with all kinds of music. But sadly, I'm not actually a DJ. Because there's more to it than simply selecting music. There are skills, matching the beats and phrases of music so everything comes together into a totally new thing. And there's the art to it too, moving the crowd. And to get us going this morning, as you're hearing behind me already, DJ Lamont Branchford Young, founder of the DJ school Fingersnaps Media in the Mission. He hosts the Fingersnap Salon on KPOO 89.5. Welcome, DJ Lamont.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
So you run, oh man, so we need a board in here at all times. We got the turntables. That is amazing. You run a DJ school in the Mission here.
Yes, I
do. But before we get there, how'd you fall in love with being a DJ?
It fell in love with me. Music became a companion when I was a kid, and I played it all the time. My mother gave me a clothes and play record player when I was 5 years old, and she gave me Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Classic record.
Absolutely. Classic record. Yeah. Perfect for a five-year-old. And I was just fascinated when I would put the record on the turntable and just watch it turn.
Yeah.
And it just captivated my imagination, and it just hasn't stopped.
When did you decide, though, you wanted to develop the skills of DJing and not just kind of the appreciation of music?
It started when I was listening to New York City radio, and this was back in the late 70s, early 80s, and they would have mix shows. DJs would mix live on the air. I wasn't old enough to go out yet, and that was during the disco era, and I would hear these mix shows. And I would stay up all night and just had chills beaming throughout my body. I could not sleep. It was intoxicating.
Wow. So how about when you came out here to San Francisco? Were you DJing already? When was that?
Oh, yes. I moved to San Francisco back in 1996, and I packed up 75 boxes of records and put them in a U-Haul and crossed the country with hopes and dreams and imagination of just finding a different life for myself.
Oh, wow. Did you find it?
Oh, absolutely. San Francisco's been wonderful.
And was DJing a big part of that or a small part of that?
It was always part of me. I've worked in corporate America. I've worked in radio throughout the years. I've worked McDonald's. I've worked all types of jobs, going through college and so on and so forth. But DJing and music was always there with me.
So when someone goes to get a lesson at Fingersnaps, like our entire team might after this, what's the first thing you want your students to really know and focus on?
Themselves, that they are the true instrument. It's the equipment, it's the apparatuses, but they are the true steward of their expression. And so I emphasize self-expression, self-awareness before we even touch the equipment. Because I want them to understand that it's all about them and expressing this music that they love, whatever the genre may be. And so it starts with the individual. And then we talk about the philosophical aspects of what music means to each and every one of us. Everyone has a personal story of what music means to them. One of the questions that I ask my students is, what's your earliest memory of a song that's part of your life? And it's always associated with a parent, you know, a parental person in their life. Every morning, my mom used to drop me pick me up and bring me to school, this song was playing on the radio. Mm. Or we were making breakfast, this song was playing on the radio. And I asked that question because I want them to understand how personal music is to each and every one of us. And regardless of what the genre is, it's still part of your DNA. And because you will honor that experience and you will honor that song for the rest of your life. And then, because they asked, like, how do you know what song to play for someone? Because if you think about the streaming services, you know, they boast to have 100 million songs within their category. I mean, within their library. Where does one begin when you only are playing, when you have a 2-hour set or a 3-hour set and you're choosing no more than 60 songs at best?
Right.
How do you source from 100 million songs? So it starts with understanding the group of people that you're playing in front of. And that's the question that I ask about what is one of the earliest memories of a song that you carry with you. If you think about your contemporaries, they may have all heard that same song when their parents were bringing them to school, or that parental person was bringing them to school every morning. And you're all 25 and now you're 35. And that song is part of that generational experience.
Do you think there's a particular way that you listen to music that a non-DJ does not?
Yes. I listen to music as though I'm sitting in the studio with the musician composing the music. It's not just, I like this buzz, this contemporary song or this hot song of the day. When I hear a song, I'm listening to it as though I'm a musician myself, as though I'm part of the band or I'm part of the production. I listen beyond the surface because I'm listening to the arrangement. I'm listening to the nuances of the song. And that's how I am able to manipulate the song, remix it, edit it, sample it by listening beyond just this is hip hop or this is house or this is cumbia. Mm-hmm. Because it's more to it than that. There's more heart put in it besides just the title of the song or the genre of the song.
So you have brought, this is the first time I think I've seen a mixer, a little board here in the Forum Studio. And can you show us some things? Like, what can we do?
This is my DJ controller, and this is my favorite DJ controller. It's about 10 years old. It's almost ready to retire. However, it's a portable board. Literally, it's a portable mobile DJ unit that I've traveled all around the world with when I've done events. So it's ready to go at any given time. So what I'm going to show you is how to break down and how to sample a song.
Okay.
And it starts off with literally just the first beat, because everything starts with a seed. So have you heard the term downbeat before?
I have heard it. Yeah. I have heard it, right? It's like just like it's the one.
Yeah, it's the one. It's the first beat in the bar generally. Yeah. Okay. And so my approach to this is it's music theory from a DJ's perspective, because I'm not composing the music. It's already composed, but I'm using those same elements as a composer from a DJ, from a DJ's perspective. So this is a downbeat. So what I want you to do is clap to the beat. So let's start off with just clapping for one. This is your downbeat.
Okay.
That's one. Okay. That's your downbeat. One more time. That's your downbeat. One more time. Okay. Now, this is your downbeat. Mm-hmm. So come on over.
Okay.
So what I want you to do is tap out eight beats. Okay. So that's eight beats.
Man, that sounds good.
Okay. So now what we're going to do is an eight. Okay. So now we're going to do an 8-beat loop, and that looks and sounds like this: 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
So would that be called a phrase? Is that what that is? Like that eight bars?
1, 2, correct. 1, 2, 1, 1. Okay, want to try it?
I'll let you keep doing it. I'm not letting it for our listeners' sake. I'll let you handle it. But it's like it's fascinating to me because it does seem like a different way of seeing the movement of a song. Right, because you end up being able to break it not just into its constituent like samples, like individual, you know, horn blasts or drum roll or whatever it is, but also the way that music changes throughout the course of a song.
Absolutely. So this is just introducing these first beats, these first eight beats. You're gaining an understanding of what the entire track will sound like, because generally music is a series of loops, regardless if it's acoustic music. You listen to some of your greatest jazz ensembles. Your oldest music, such as classical, it's a series of loops.
Right.
Okay. And so with electronic music, it's even more apparent because it's more defined. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And as the song progresses, that same loop will be played throughout the track.
So if you were to keep going with the song, what would you do?
Okay. So this is our intro. We'll wait for the first lyrics. One. Two. Here we go. One. Two. One, two.
When the night.
Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Eight.
Has come. Six, seven, eight.
Eight. Eight. Eight. Eight. Eight. Eight. Eight. Eight. Eight. Eight. Eight. Eight. Eight. Eight.
Okay.
Our engineer Danny is just cracking me up.
So that's just a quick embellishment just to add some energy to the song,
yeah,
to manipulate it instantly and in real time.
How much of that do you plan out? Like, is there a score that you write down, or are you just feeling it?
Oh, no, this is 100% heart, 100%. But years of study and manipulation and listening and testing and rehearsing. So I stand on years and years of practice. I've been DJing for 40 years this year.
Yeah.
And so it's a combination. But it's interesting. I didn't learn. There's two things that I learned about DJing. I learned more about DJing with working with musicians, because musicians talk shop. They talk about the trade. They talk about the music. And I used to book a supper club here in San Francisco, and the musicians were on break. They would talk about each other's performance. They would say, you were too slow, your tempo was too slow, you were off key, you came in on the half beat, and I would listen. And then I would apply that to DJing. So it just helped me understanding DJing more by listening to musicians speak about music. And that's when I started to understand the bars, the measures, the phrasing, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And then once I started teaching, I had to learn the language associated so I can transfer the information onto my student.
Yeah.
And so since then, I believe because I teach, my DJing skills are sharper than ever. I don't think they would have been if I wasn't teaching.
That's so interesting. We are talking about the art and skills behind becoming a DJ. It's not just as simple as putting together a list of songs and hitting play, unfortunately. We're joined by DJ Lamont Bransford Young, founder of the DJ school Fingersnaps Media in the Mission. Hosts the show Fingersnap Salon on KPOO 89.5. We'd love to hear from you. Who's your favorite local DJ? Where do you like to go to hear their set? Or what's something you've always wanted to understand about the way that DJing works? You can email us, forum@kqed.org. You can find us on all our different social channels. You can give us a call, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. DJ Lamont is going to play us into the break. Welcome back to Forum. We're talking about the art and skills behind becoming a DJ. I'm Alexis Madrigal. We're joined this morning by DJ Lamont Bransford Young, founder of the DJ school Fingersnaps Media in the Mission. It's going to be playing throughout the hour here and there. But we also have a couple of other DJs to bring to you. One is our own Nastia Voynovskaya, reporter and editor for the KQED Arts and Culture Desk. And DJ Nastia, welcome.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
We're also joined by DJ One Way Possible, Grammy-nominated MC and DJ. He's got a daily show on KALW. That's 91.7. Airs in the evening. 8 to 10? 8 to 9?
8 to 10, Monday through Friday.
8 to 10. That's awesome. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, awesome to be here.
So Let's talk a little bit about what it is to, you know, be a DJ, like, in the Bay Area, one way. Talk to me, like, where'd you learn DJ? How'd you get good at it?
I think just very similar, just being influenced by elders. My aunt and uncle were big folks that would go to clubs all the time. I would stay at their house, and they had an amazing record collection. So every time they'd step out, I'd go through their records. I'd bring a tape, and I'd make my own little mixtapes, just recording the songs they had. And they had Motown, they had hip-hop, they had techno. It was just, like, such an amazing selection.
Yeah. Well, to ask you DJ Lamont's question, do you have, like, a memory, like, of that first song that really stuck with you?
Oh, man. I mean, I think music from the very beginning. The first album I bought was Purple Rain when I was 5 years old. So,
that's pretty good taste.
Yeah, I begged my mom to get it, and I knew then I was going to love music always.
Yeah. How about you, Nastia?
Well, I've been a music journalist for a little over a decade, and just lifelong huge music fan, really eclectic listener, and then. When I worked at East Bay Express, which was my job before KQED, one of my good friends who was a DJ had a radio show on All Day Play FM, and then he asked me to do a guest set, and I was like, well, I have a lot of great songs, but don't really know how to mix, so then he started teaching me, and that was how I started getting into DJing.
What was kind of your first step? Like, for somebody who's a good playlist maker, hypothetically someone in this room who wants to become a DJ, what would you do?
I would say... come up with a set list where you're really thinking about the connections between the different kinds of songs and the tempos and maybe ways that they can complement each other.
Mm-hmm. And then did you go like the software route or did you go more like records and, you know, mixer?
Yeah, no, definitely the software route. I wouldn't say I'm a super technical DJ in all respect to these two and all those who are. But yeah, I'm more about, you know, just like selecting songs that might surprise the listener, move them in an unexpected way, or make connections between genres across different time periods or geographical areas and things like that.
Yeah. Vibe management and musical appreciation.
Yeah, big time vibe curator.
Important.
I mean, yeah. DJ Lamont, have said that there are kind of different approaches that people take to DJing, some of which are more technical and some of which aren't. So, like, talk to me a little bit about that you see at the school.
Well, there's two aspects that I have experienced with DJing. There's what I call the IT DJ, where the whole approach is that they're DJing from an information technology point of view, because the way that the equipment is set up today, using laptops and digital equipment, one can just literally just match numbers together, waveforms together. And I've heard DJs say, I said, did you hear that track? I'm not listening. I've heard this in real time where they're not listening to the track because they're looking at the information on the screen.
Right.
And one of the things when I teach at my studio is that I block the screen, and many of them feel paralyzed instantly because they're so used to seeing.
Nastia's eyes just like,
and then there's approaching, still using the same equipment, but approaching it from a musician point of view.
Mm-hmm. And just you're literally listening to play.
And having to play, like literally just how, as I explained to you, as I demonstrated, just listening to the beat instead of looking at it, but to hear it, to feel it. You want your heart to flutter as you are engaging and learning, not just being stone-faced and looking at this cold technology or these numbers that represent it. And I appreciate both sides. And as a teacher, it's my responsibility to facilitate and to bring that out, their full expression. Yeah. So it's not necessarily a criticism of the equipment, but I ask my students, I says, you have a choice. Yeah. Do you want to... your heart to flutter, or do you want to turn this into an equation? And I said, it's your choice. And the ones that want to approach it from the technical point of view, generally we don't jive. It's just like matching.
I like the person who raised their hand. No, just an equation, please. Yeah. No hearts.
Yeah,
no hearts
involved. They told me, they're like, this is too difficult. I just want to push a button and leave it at that.
Yeah.
And then there's others like, no, I want to take on this challenge of learning and really diving into the art form of music. And it's a difference between the two.
You know, Nastia, DJing is... a side gig primarily. I mean, you really are like a music reporter first and foremost. I mean, how do you think the Bay Area has influenced kind of the history of DJing?
Oh, so huge. So DJing is a foundational pillar of hip hop culture. And here in the Bay Area, It's really where turntablism came to be known as an art form in its own right, where like DJs really were the stars of that subgenre of hip hop. So in the 90s, you know, crews like the Invisible Scratch Pickles came out of here, DJ Shadow.
Is that where people are like just hitting these like crazy scratches and leaving their elbow and whatever?
Yeah, totally. Actually, so Pam the Funkstress, who was the Coos DJ and also DJed for Prince, was known for scratching using her breasts. It was like, and she would win championships that way. And yeah, the Scratch Pickles, there's an urban legend that they won so many DMC championships that they were just too good and were asked to not compete anymore.
Yeah, they were retired.
Wow, that's incredible. Let's to the point of records and physical turntables. Francesco in San Rafael, welcome.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm just curious, are there any DJs, not even necessarily like older cats who just like that's how they've been doing it and that's how they continue to do it, but even newer DJs that are like, yeah, I want that physical record in my hand. I want those turntables. You know, I don't want to do this off a laptop. I want...
Absolutely.
Thanks, Francesco. Great question.
Yeah, absolutely. I think vinyl culture is actually, like Lamont said, it's bigger than ever.
Yes.
You can go to so many nights in San Francisco where it's strictly vinyl, and some of the biggest bars and parties around the country and the world right now, like me and my crew, Latin Soul Brothers, we play at a place called Dante's in Miami, and it's all vinyl every night, and it's huge. It's like one of the bigger clubs in Miami.
Harder or easier, you think?
Harder for sure. Yeah.
Because you have to manipulate the physical medium.
Yeah,
and be patient with it.
It's touch. It's listening. You don't have a screen. Mm-hmm. And so many things can happen.
Yeah. Let's hear one of your mixes here. One way possible. It's Alegre All Stars. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Oh man! All right, walk us through.
Wait, Bob. The,
shout out to my dude Randy.
I loved hearing that like bass slap come up in the mix too. That was nice. Talk to us a little bit about kind of what's the like concept behind this mix here.
It was from a mix called Makosa Classics. Was a party that I used to do with my boy Joe Quicks, and it was just kind of bringing back the idea of this old. How all this music came up early in hip hop, like the disco, salsa, breaks, all this, and it really just came together. It would be at the same party, and it not even new, a new concept, but I just wanted to show people how connected that was on the dance floor, and how you could have a great disco or funk song follow a salsa song like that. So
yeah, oh man, so yeah. Much fun. Yeah. Nastya, what did you hear anything in that you want to comment on?
Yeah, I mean, when I think about how different genres connect, it's so interesting. Like, basically all the music of the Americas, whether it's funk or salsa, it's actually, you know, like, rooted in these African rhythms. And then that can become sort of like the unexpected thread in genres you wouldn't think pair together.
Yeah, that's so interesting. You know, I think, DJ Lamont, do you want... We actually have another one of your tracks as well, and maybe we could hear... that one too. Let's listen. It's going to be a Downtown Funk Into Water. So, DJ Lamont, walk me through this one. You know, you're kind of taking these two pieces of the songs and weaving them together.
Yeah, that was the idea of choosing two pop songs that's familiar that we've all heard from two different genres, two different almost eras now, and to merge them together to show how spontaneous a DJ can be in the mix. And that's something I stood in front of my board and just said, how can I choose a track that people will understand?
Yeah.
And so that's why, and it came to mind with the Uptown Funk and Water, because that song is, Uptown Funk is now 10 years old and Water is contemporary. And it was a mashup, just a quick mashup to just bring some magic to the moment.
And how much did you have to change each of those songs to make that work?
I looped the Uptown Funk. I looped the intro where you just hear the dump, dump, doom, dump, 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 dump. So that was a 16 or a 4-bar loop. And then Water, I created an acapella and added some echo, a 2-beat echo. And so you, if you heard Water, you can hear the echoing of the refrain. And after she said her intro, make me, what is it?
Make me sweat.
Make me sweat, yes. I dropped the fader. And the echo continued on, and then...
Oh, man. Let's bring the cut back again, just so people can see if they can hear some of those things going on. So good. We're talking about the art and skills of becoming a DJ. We're joined by DJ Lamont Branford Young, DJ One Way Possible, and our own DJ Nastia. That's, of course, Nastia Vonoskaya, reporter and editor for the KQED Arts and Culture Desk. Nastia, we have a couple of your songs that you like to play back to back as well. Do you want to walk us into that?
Yeah, for sure. So one of the songs I selected, it's a classic 90s house song, River Ocean featuring India, Love Happiness. It has these really incredible drums, and even though it's not necessarily like a hit song people today know of, it always goes off on the dance floor. And then I like to mix it with something more contemporary. I believe the other song that we're going to hear is Anna Wintour by Azealia Banks.
Yes.
And I really love to find links between hip hop and house music, so I'm always kind of like... looking for those up-tempo rap songs or like house songs with rapped vocals and things like that. And it just makes for a really fun dance floor experience.
All right, let's hear them. Couple of DJ Nastia's favorite songs to bring together was Azealia Banks and
River Ocean.
Yeah, that's right, and River Ocean. Let's bring in Rachel in San Francisco. Welcome, Rachel.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Juan.
Hey,
my question was about reading the room and feeling the vibe of the dance floor. What do you look out for in terms of like curation to keep the party alive? And then also, second part to that question is what is your take on requests?
Oh yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, you have to be aware. I don't know. I think there's obviously you're reading people's faces, their body language, but I think also there's this kind of energy that can't even be quantified. It's just an energy that you feel in the room. You can feel it when you put on a song and there's a gasp or a certain energy that pops up. You know when it's building and when you're losing it. And sometimes you purposely lose it because you want to take them somewhere else. Absolutely. And that's okay too. And my take on request is if it's respectfully done and it's thoughtful, I'm open to it. But if it gets to the level of like you're kind of being disrespectful, then I don't know that I'm going to accept it, you know. But I'm open to it. I'm not, yeah, against it.
Yeah, the dance floor, reading the dance floor is interesting. I did an event once where majority of the people were dancing. But there, I noticed that there was a segment of people that were not dancing.
Right.
And so what I did was compromise the dance floor to play a different genre of music.
Yeah.
Because to try and bring those people out.
Yes. Yeah. And when I did that, it invited a whole crew of people that were sitting because some people are intimidated about dancing because they don't know the latest music. They don't know the latest dances. So they're intimidated to partake. So I will, like I said, it's a compromise. I'm compromising a hot floor. Betting that
must feel terrible, though.
I've had my flops. No.
I mean, like inside, you might. Oh man, I can't believe I'm taking these people off the dance.
Yes, floor. But it's the idea is to, because for a DJ, it's you want to include people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the idea is you want everyone to have fun.
Yep, I agree.
Not just, yeah. And you can alienate people really easy if you just play a certain genre throughout the night because people may not be tuned into it or even like it. So the idea is you compromise it and we play a different genre or maybe go back further and within the genre, you know, cross generations. And all of a sudden, you may have a bigger dance floor or, again, refreshes the dance floor and brings those folks in because the dancers are going to dance. And then there's those. And as far as request is almost from the point of view of a DJ is, as Juan said, it's respectful. It's just if it complements, it can be helpful.
Yep.
It can be helpful sometimes. People have snap me out of a rut because they suggest a song. I'm like, whoa, I didn't even think of that.
Yep.
And it can help me. And other times it can be, it can derail me because it's like, no, I can't play this ballad right now. the floor is too on fire.
I know every rose has its thorn.
I can't, not right now.
Yeah. It's really a give and take, and I think as a DJ, you have to be okay with kind of throwing out the plan you came with sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're playing for a room full of music nerds and aficionados that really want, you know, like older music or deep cuts or underground stuff. And then sometimes, you know, I had a gig where I came with a plan of playing all this really cool house music, and then the crowd that was there wanted Ski by Sexy Red, so I ended up playing, you know, just like all these new tracks by female rappers, and it ended up, you know, being a really fun dance floor, but you have to be kind of okay with compromising.
Yeah.
We're talking about the art and magic of DJing, how you could do it yourself. We're joined by Nastia Bonovskaya, who, of course, is a reporter and editor here at KQED, and a DJ herself, DJ Nastia, always playing very cool parties. DJ One Way Possible is a Grammy-nominated MC and DJ with a show on KALW, and DJ Lamont Branchford Young is the founder of the DJ School Fingersnaps Media in the Mission. Stay tuned for more when we get back. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. We're talking about DJing this morning. I love that. Listener Marv writes in to say, folks, I know you're trying to musically bring me into the 2000s, but I'm an 85-year-old white guy, and my music hero is Trummy Young, the best trombone player ever. We're joined. I'm going to listen to it. So I'll tell you that, Marv. We're joined by DJ Lamont Branchford Young, DJ One Way Possible, DJ Nastia, and we also have another DJ to add. DJ Chulaquiles, who goes by Kiki, is East Bay born and bred. You can find her at clubs in Oakland and San Francisco and underground parties everywhere. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I want to know how you came up as a DJ in the East Bay.
Yeah, so my story is a little bit different from most, but I started DJing as a teenager in the East Bay Latin clubs, like Deep East Bay.
Like, where are we talking? Like, Concord?
Yeah, Concord, Pittsburgh, Antioch. And I don't think they knew how old I was, but definitely.
And what would you play? Like, you'd go in there, would you bring a whole stack of records, or like, how did you do it?
No, like I didn't even have a deck at the moment when I first started. Mm-hmm. I was just practicing on my laptop and I had like a great selection of music. And I do want to say that my family in Mexico, they're all sonideros. So I've watched that, which is like a type of like cumbia salsa DJ. And so, you know, I just grew up in this world full of great music. And I just started messaging all of the clubs around me like, hey, do you need a DJ? Hey, do you need an extra DJ? Like just shooting my shot. Like I started at 14. And then when I was 15, I was like, OK, I'm going to start reaching out to all of the local.
Now that I've grown up, it's time to get serious. Yeah.
There you go. I'm grown now. And when I got a response, I was like, oh, my God. OK. And I got there and they're like, so where are your decks? And I was like, where are your decks?
So what would you say your sound is then?
I would say my sound is, I mean, at that point, I was starting with all tropical music. I was doing cumbia, salsa, bachata. But, you know, I also loved hip hop. I also loved techno. And I think that's the big difference between then and now is like at that moment, I ended up DJing from Thursday through Sunday at different clubs every night. But I had to cater to like what they were asking me for.
Absolutely.
And how about, you know, as you were getting started, how would you say the gender dynamics of DJing was?
It was hard. I was always the only woman in the whole club. And most of the clubs have 2 to 3 rooms, multiple DJs. So I feel like I'm grateful that I was raised the way that I was and am, that I, you know, have a pretty strong personality. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was like moments that I had to navigate that really burnt me out, I think, towards the end of that era for me, where like I left to go to college. And I was so burnt out by the club scene and DJing, and it felt like just a job. And it took a while for me to like be able to find my love and like my passion for DJing again, because I was able to do it for me and not to like meet the club owners' expectations that they had for me.
You know, Nastya, you've in addition to being a DJ yourself, you've also reported on, you know, the kind of queer dance scene that has like really developed, that maybe is kind of a little bit of an antidote to the kind of thing that she's telling us about.
Yeah, I actually just did a story about Oakland's queer nightlife renaissance where I don't know if you saw Kiki, but there's a photo of you and a shout out to your set. at the Mari Macha party. And I thought you did such an amazing genre bending set where there was like cumbia, perreo, there was like merengue. It was so much fun.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And like, I'm so grateful for, you know, the new community and the scene that has come up, which is so different than like when I was doing it as a teenager. And it helped me like refine, you know, this is what I'm here for. This is what I do. Like, I'm also a recording and a mixing engineer and work in media preservation. And everyone's always asking me, like, what got you into that? Like, why did you choose this career path? And I'm always like, I started as a DJ and then wanted more from there, and then started, you know, restoring the songs that I wanted to play that were really old cumbia tracks that were dubbed over and over and over again. And wanting to be more part of like the music production and the recording side. And I got really bad career advice when I went to college. And, you know, one of my music teachers was like, you have your hand in too many pots. You want to DJ, you want to record, you want to do this, you want to do that. Like, you need to pick one and focus. And so I took an almost 10-year break from DJing and because of that. And then I was like, you know what? The world is different now. Like, I have community, like the queer party scene, like has held me in so many different ways. And was able to like open the doors for me to step into like my first passion and be able to continue that.
Okay, before we let you go, we need to ask you about your DJ name. I'm going to ask you all about your DJ name. tell us about yours. Play on Chilaquiles, yeah?
Yeah. I'm the oldest granddaughter. I would like to say the favorite grandchild. My cousins will all fight me on site for that. But my great-grandfather and my grandfather, they all call me Chula. Like, that is my name to them, just yeah. Chula. And my favorite food is chilaquiles. And one time...
I mean, it's the best food. There's no arguing there, I think. Yeah.
Right? And one time I was in Mexico with my grandfather, and he tried saying really fast, like, chula, quieres chulaquiles? Get us chilaquiles. And it came out chulaquiles. And he was like, what? And I was like, that's it.
That's it. That's it. Oh, man. DJ Chulaquiles, thank you so much for joining us. And of course, people can look up where they can find you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
What about, I mean, Nastia, when your name is Nastia, you kind of just have to go DJ Nastia, don't you?
Yeah, I have to embrace having a unique name.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. How about you, one way?
I started as an MC, so it was kind of like my little superhero alter ego. I feel like I'm really scatterbrained, so one way was like the, when I'm focused and I'm on, like, that's when I'm going to be successful or victorious. I mean, these are the names you think about 20 years ago. You're like, I'm going to be explaining this 20 years from now, but yeah, this is awesome.
Well, have you thought about a new name? Have you been like,
oh, I'm too deep. I'm too deep. Deep. Yeah, yeah. I'm here.
What about you, DJ Lamont? I mean, you kept it pretty simple, too. I mean...
Same thing when it's I was just using Lamont Young, my first name, before I was married, and I decided I just wanted to shorten it. And it's like, Juan, I was too invested to rebrand myself. And so I just put the DJ before Lamont. And that's where before DJs were calling themselves DJs. And if I realized it would be so saturated now, I would have chosen a different name. I still think about aliases that I would like to...
Oh yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it. You know, you can have a few side projects, right? Well,
yeah, that's true, but it just seems exhausting to start all over again. Yeah, yeah. But Moonbeam is one of them.
Hey,
sometimes I'll hear adjectives as I'm just moving throughout life. I'm like, that would be a great name right there.
DJ Moonbeam. Oh, I do like that for you. I agree. It's an energy.
Sure, absolutely.
It's a wavelength.
Absolutely.
What do you think I should have my DJ name be? Ooh. DJ Plant Daddy?
Plant
yeah,
Daddy.
Yeah, go. Absolutely.
Good, there you go. We are in the age of green, right?
Yes, yes.
Let's bring in another caller here. Let's go to Greg in Oakland. Welcome, Greg.
Hey, good morning, you guys. I'm a 30-year bedroom DJ with a collective out of San Francisco called Friends and Family, and we've been doing underground parties for years and years. And I just wanted to tell Lamont that I think he ought to have a class in analog DJing, and especially vinyl, because one of the things that I learned early on was how to control the emotion of the crowd using pitch and using key. And it was just so important to me to learn, and it made it harder to learn. But to be able to change key and change pitch, I think DJs now don't understand with the digital systems how easy it is to break the dance floor mood if you break that emotional tie to the music. Mm. And there's a certain flexibility in vinyl that can hurt you or harm you, and it's really wonderful to listen to when somebody can do it well. And I think about like DJs like Carlos out of San Francisco, who could play 140 records in an hour and not lose that vibe on the dance floor. It was just really amazing.
Yeah, well, Greg, let me take this to DJ Lamont. Thank you so much. It's such an interesting point. I think for listeners who may not totally understand, like, how you might pitch shift a song or how you might change the key of music in order to make it work within a mix, like, tell us a little bit more about that, how you would, like, think about that at your school.
Well, for one, I teach the art of DJing, so I teach on all the elements. If you bring in a Rictrola, I'm going to teach you how to use it. Seriously, I'm not going to discriminate against equipment. If you bring in a cassette deck, a CD player, I'm going to teach you how to express yourself through that. Shifting key is just that. It's shifting energy, because sometimes if you stay in a consistent key, it can be flat. The you will not have that spark of change. And the idea of changing key is to change the mood of the room, because you may be a consistent tempo or key for 20 or 30 minutes and you want to bring up the energy. And so you choose a song that has higher keys to bring up the energy of the room. Or maybe the energy of the room has peaked. I've played at events where the energy has peaked and you want to bring it down.
Right.
And the idea is
a little soft landing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you change the key to change the direction of the dance floor, or just the experience overall. So just to create a diverse experience.
Yeah. Wanwei, let's hear another track from you. This is Me Ponga Loca by Kali Uchis. Juan, I feel like this is a song that is kind of about vibe management, right? I feel like you put this on
and you're
suddenly kind of like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it does a lot of things. It's smooth. It allows you to dance. And I think it kind of crosses into a couple of different genres. Like, it kind of taps into a little bit of that Afrobeats vibe that's happening right now, but also Latin music. There's also a soul element to it. It feels like it's a good culmination of, like, a lot of what's happening in modern music today.
Yeah. Let's bring in
Monster Eddie.
I mean, we need that all the time. You got an air horn on there or what? Like, where's my air horn at? let's bring in Mike in Orinda. Welcome, Mike.
Hey guys. Really enjoying this program. It's really great to hear how things have evolved. I myself started DJing at some of the underground raves back in the early 90s, back when I was carrying around records, crates mm-hmm. of records that were hundreds of pounds, taking them on flights. And so I just wanted to express my appreciation to see how things are progressing. Mm-hmm. And the track you just played is absolutely beautiful. Being a DJ here in San Francisco for, the past almost 30 years has just allowed me to see the evolving of the house scene here. San Francisco was definitely one of the part of the foreground of the digital and electronic music forefront, and I just love to see the passion that these guys have in carrying the torch.
Yeah, hey, thank you so much, Mike. I mean, Nastya, one of the things that I have been really struck with, getting ready for this show, but also just generally in life, it feels like electronic music is just so massive now. Like, I kind of looked up at some point, and was like, wow, it is just kind of everywhere and in everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, most popular music is electronically made now, so it's really a kind of all-encompassing category. Yeah, but we have a really interesting scene here in the Bay. Like, I'm actually getting ready to write a story on this house music producer, Three Kelves, who's great, out of San Francisco, and really takes that disco influence and makes it feel modern, so highly recommend.
Yeah. DJ Lamont, I mean, as a fellow disco fan, do you feel like this return of what feels like just like pure dance music is kind of a fascinating like movement in the overall culture?
I'm amazed when I listen to Top 40 radio and I hear strings, either electronic or acoustic. Disco lives with us today, and it's fascinating. And it never necessarily went away. It just went back to where it came from, which was the underground. And then it created these subgenres, synthetic pop music of the early 80s, such as Depeche Mode, Madonna. That was all contemporary disco without the term disco. And so it's still with us today, and I'm fascinated by it and inspired by it. And I love the pop artists, and I love the underground artists and everything in between.
Yeah. Kate writes in to say, listening with much appreciation, when one of you just briefly mentioned sacrificing the hot dance floor momentum in order to include folks sitting on the sidelines, I literally teared up. As an enthusiastic, self-conscious, and dramatically unhip dancer, I love Kate. I have been one of those outsiders. To be seen and invited in is a simple but huge gift. Annalise tweets, love the solidarity across public radio in the city.
Yes.
And another listener writes, the most DJ played song for weddings must be Celebrate by Kool and the Gang. This always gets the dance floor.
It is a staple.
It's a wedding staple.
Yeah, it is a wedding
staple. What would you say is kind of the toughest kind of gig to play, Juan?
Oh, darn. There's a few.
Is it a wedding? Is a wedding tough?
No, because I wedding, most of the time, they're so specific about mm-hmm. what they want. You're kind of just doing what you're being asked of. Sometimes corporate events can be difficult because they're not so into the music, and you're trying to get people to get excited about stuff, and they don't really even care to be there half the time. So I don't know if that's the toughest gig, but
We have been talking about the art and skill of DJing. We have a song request to DJ Lamont for the Out Here in Deep last night. DJ Saved My Life.
Oh, yes. This is one of the many, many songs that inspired me to be the DJ that I am today.
We have been joined by DJ Lamont Branford Young, founder of the DJ School Fingersnaps Media in the Mission, appearing at the Earth Day Festival at Yerba Buena Gardens April 24th. We've got DJ Juan Way Possible One, Amador, Grammy-nominated MC and DJ. His show's on KALW 91.7, airs 8 to 10 p.m. You can catch him at the New Parish in Oakland on Thursday, April 25th at 8. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
What a pleasure to be here. Yeah, absolutely.
And of course, we have been joined by our own Nastia Vonovskaya, reporter and editor for the KQED Arts and Culture Desk. You can find her as DJ Nastia. Earlier, we were joined by DJ Chulaquiles, who goes by Kiki. You can find her all over Oakland, San Francisco, and in underground parties everywhere. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for another hour of Form Ahead with host Nina Kim. You gotta get off, you gotta get down, girl. You know you drive me crazy, baby. You've got me turning to another man. Called you on the phone, no one's home. Baby, why leave me all alone? If it wasn't for the music, I don't know what I'd do. Funds for the production of KQED's Forum are provided by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the Generosity Foundation, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Heising-Simons Foundation.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.